Today, market disorder incoming as Pax Americana unwinds. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I'm the latest post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and then in Australia, and cover commodities and crypto along the way. It seems that markets are beginning to read the room as the unwinding of the so-called rules-based order, which really was based on a Pax Americana hegemony, is falling apart. After the 25% auto import tariffs were announced this week, the so-called Liberation Day on April the 2nd, when Trump says he plans to announce reciprocal tariffs to end the days of, quote, other nations ripping off the US, or T-Day, is looking to be the next milestone. No surprise then that safe haven gold hit a fresh record high on Friday, with the futures at 3,126 and up more than 18% this year, even as the MSCI index of global shares fell down 1.5% and down year to date too, while the Stoxx 600 European index fell 0.77% on Friday, but is still up 6.79% this year. The S&P 500 was down 1.97% on Friday, erasing around $1 trillion of market cap, and it posted its largest daily decline since March the 10th, and it's down 5.11% year-to-date, while the ASX 200 was up 0.16% as the election was announced, but down 2.17% so far this year, all weighed down by worries over a looming trade war sparked by tariff decisions from US President Donald Trump. According to Barclays, the administration will act swiftly, imposing tariffs on somewhere between 15 and 25 nations under either Section 338 of the Tariff Act of 1930 or the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, the so-called IEEPA. The tariffs are expected to target countries with the largest trade deficits with the US and those maintaining high tariffs or non-tariff trade barriers. Among the potential targets are China, the European Union, India, Canada, and Japan, despite recent diplomatic efforts from countries like the UK, Australia, and India to avoid inclusion. Barclays believes the real negotiations will only start after April the 2nd, after the closing bell. And while on Air Force One, Trump told reporters that he was open to negotiations that would reduce the tariffs he was planning to implement on countries next week. One of the other big cautionary points for investors is that the inflation impact of tariffs has yet to show up in the data, which is why we believe this is the calm before the tariff storm, said Greg Busuk, CEO at AXS Investments in New York. In a note, Goldman Sachs said, although the range of outcomes remains wide, we think markets are still vulnerable to a negative surprise. The most robust market expressions of that view are likely to be equity downside, volatility upside, and possibly gold upside. We think rates, at least beyond the very front of the yield curve, will more likely fall. And in a survey, its client, Evercore ISI, said most respondents expect tariffs to be set at around 15% on average and to take effect within a month. And it found that clients see a potential US equity rebound if the rate averages below 10% and a renewed sell-off above 15%. But already, US consumer sentiment is down again as the University of Michigan, that's the survey the Fed all but rubbished last time, said consumer sentiment fell to 57 this month from 64.7 in February. Consumers expect prices to rise at an annual rate of 4.1% over the next 5 to 10 years, the data showed. That's the highest since February 1993 and above the 3.9% preliminary reading. And they saw costs of living rising 5% over the next 12 months. That's the highest since 2002. Actually, Republicans joined independents and Democrats in expressing worsening expectations since February for their personal finances, business conditions, unemployment, and inflation, said Consumer Survey Director Joanna Hugh. Consumers continue to worry about the potential for pain amid ongoing economic policy developments. Notably, two-thirds of consumers expect unemployment to rise in the year ahead. That's the highest reading since 2009. This trend reveals a key vulnerability for consumers, given that strong labour markets and incomes have been the primary source of strength supporting consumer spending in recent years. And actually, the US consumer spending rebound was less than expected in February, while a measure of underlying prices increased the most in 13 months. In the 12 months through to February, prices increased 2.5%, which matched January's rise. Stripping out the volatile food and energy components, the price index rose 0.4% after an unrevised 0.3% average in January. And in the last 12 months through to December, core inflation increased 2.8%. after rising 2.7% in January. The US Central Bank, of course, tracks the PCE price measures for its 2% inflation target, so they're above it. It would be irrational for consumers not to think the economy is going to take a turn for the worse, the FWD bonds chief economist Chris Rupke said. A downturn is coming. Bet on it. On Wall Street, all three major indices ended lower and notched their third straight losses. The biggest losers were communication services, consumer discretionary, technology and financial equities. Utility stocks, again, finished higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 1.69% to 41,583. The S&P 500 fell 1.97% to 5,580. And the Nasdaq Composite fell 2.7% to 17,322. The S&P 500 is on track for its first quarterly decline in six quarters, while the tech-centric Nasdaq is set for its deepest quarterly drop since 2022. 10 of the S&P 500's 11 industry sectors were lower, with communication services down 3.8%, but utilities rallied. The volatility index was up 15.84% to 21.65. Alphabet, Meta, and Amazon each fell more than 4%, and in fact, all seven of the Magnificent Seven mega-cap techs closed lower. Tesla lost 3.5%. And the NYSE FANG Plus Index, which tracks the mega-cap techs, was 3.3% lower, taking the year-to-date drop to more than 12%. In the bond market, US Treasury yields declined as investors assessed the likely negative hit on growth from Trump's tariffs. Traders in interest rate futures were betting on a total of around 66 basis points of interest rate cuts this year. The yield on benchmark US 10-year notes were at 4.248%, while the 2-year was down to 3.910. The dollar weakened against major currencies, including the Japanese yen and the euro. The DXY was last at 104.03. The euro has been one of the biggest beneficiaries of the greenback struggles. It was up 0.21% this week against the greenback, and the dollar weakened 0.87% to 149.73 against the Japanese yen. In commodities, oil prices turned flat as traders assessed a tightening of crude supplies along with new US tariffs and their expected effect on the world's economy. Brent crude futures fell 0.5% to settle at $70.54 a barrel, and US West Texas Intermediate crude fell 0.8% to close at $69.36 a barrel. In Europe, European stock markets slipped lower on Friday, with the future of the region's important auto sector continuing to weigh on sentiment. The pan-European Stock 600 index ended 0.7% lower and was down 1.4% for the week. That's the worst week since December the 16th. Still, the Stock 600 index is set for its strongest quarterly performance in 2 years on Germany's spending plans and a rotation out of US stocks. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz on Thursday criticized Donald Trump's decision to impose tariffs on the auto sector. US President Trump's decision is wrong, he said in a statement. The US has chosen a path at whose end lies only losers, since tariffs and isolation hurt prosperity for everyone. Data showed that Germany's unemployment rate rose in March at the fastest rate since October 2024, as an economic malaise puts pressure on the job market even against a backdrop of long-term labour shortages. and data released earlier on Friday showed that German consumer sentiment was broadly unchanged heading into April, as the GfK Consumer Sentiment Index inched up just minus 24.5 points from a slightly revised minus 24.6 points the month before. The DAX dropped 1%, but it's still up 12% year to date. But Deutsche Bank fell 2.9% as the bank extended CEO Christian Sewing's contract, while its deputy and another top executive will depart as part of a management revamp, cementing the leadership team of Germany's largest lender for the next phase of its turnaround. The DAX Volatility Index was up 2.83% to 22.81. That's a new six-month high. Short-dated yields came under pressure, with German two-year yields, which are more sensitive to the ECB policy rates, dropping 4 basis points to 2.024%. That's the lowest level since March the 4th. And the real estate stock, which particularly benefits from low interest rates, jumped 1.5% on the back of the result there. Utilities, often traded as a bond proxy, also surged 1.6%. At the close in Paris, the CAC 40 declined 0.93% to hit a new one-month low, while UK shares edged lower on Friday as well, as investors avoided big bets on concerns over the global economic fallout, exacerbating trade tension already heightened by the tariffs. The blue-chip FTSE 100 was flat, but closed the week 0.2% higher. That's the second straight week of gains. The mid-cap FTSE 250 index was down 0.3%, but ended flat for the week after six straight weeks of losses. Rolls-Royce and Melrose Industries were the top decliners on the FTSE, falling significantly. WH Smith slipped 4.7% after the retailer agreed to sell its UK high street businesses to Modella Capital for £76 million. On the data front, the Office of National Statistics showed that British retail sales unexpectedly rose in February, defying most forecasts from analysts who had predicted a fall against a backdrop of weak overall growth in the economy. While the sales remained below pre-pandemic levels, the unexpected uptick did provide a welcome boost for Finance Minister Rachel Reeves, whose ambitions to kickstart the economy have been dogged by weak growth data since taking office last July. And she had announced cuts to spending plans and low economic growth forecasts in the latest financial statement to Parliament. Britain's government is set to borrow about £47.6 billion more between now and the end of the decade than expected 5 months ago. That's according to the forecast from the country's fiscal watchdog. Still, government bond yields fell after the UK's Debt Management Office said it could issue fewer bonds than expected in the years 25-26, which cooled market fears about another wave of supply. Two-year gilts were last down to 4.2375%, while 10-year yields were at 4.755%, and sterling was down 0.5% at 1.2839 against the US dollar, and also then against the euro. Now, it's worth noting that European stocks are currently on track for their largest quarterly outperformance against the US in history, but the current strong inflow of international capital into European equities may not continue, according to strategists at Goldman Sachs. They express skepticism about the possibility of this making a shift towards constant buying or a substantial reallocation to Europe, highlighting that Europe's economic and earnings growth is slower than other regions. And they also pointed out that the region is exposed to risks such as, you've guessed it, potential new tariffs from the US. Most Asian stocks fell on Friday, extending recent losses as investors remained on edge over those same tariffs. Japanese markets were by far the worst performer in the region, especially as hotter-than-expected inflation data from Tokyo ramped up bets on an early rate hike by the Bank of Japan. Japan's Nikkei 225 and Topix indices both lost more than 2% each. And we saw persistent weakness in heavyweight auto stocks such as Toyota and Honda. The country's two biggest automakers slid nearly 5% each, extending steep losses from the prior session following Trump's tariff announcement. The Nikkei volatility was up 11.79% to 28.16. That's a new three-month high. South Korea's KOSPI slid 1.7% on a similar trend, given that tech and chip stocks are among the heaviest on the index. Hyundai, the world's third largest automaker by sales, slid 4.2%, while memory chip maker SK Hynix fell 3.5%. In Taiwan, TSMC, the world's biggest chip maker, fell 0.9%, while electronics assembly giant Hon Hai Precision Industry slid 3.4%. In fact, tech stocks have been slammed by growing questions over a supply glut in the AI data center industry. That's a key source of chip demand, after major investor Microsoft Corporation was seen cancelling several data center leases. Broader Asian markets were less negative, though, with China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite Indices losing around 0.2% and 0.4% respectively. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index fell 0.3% but was on track to recoup all of the losses from earlier in the week. Chinese stocks have vastly outpaced their peers so far in 2025 amid growing optimism over the country's AI capabilities, as well as stimulus from Beijing. And focus will now be on the Purchasing Managers Indices data for March, coming out on Monday, for more clues. Also, investor sentiment on China's A-share market has weakened as trading volumes declined. That's according to research notes from Morgan Stanley analysts. The US investment bank said lower market turnover reflects cautious investor sentiment amid economic uncertainties. While key indices have stabilized after recent volatility, a lack of strong buying interest suggests that traders remain on the sidelines, they said. And they noted that liquidity in the market has fallen, with daily trading volumes decreasing compared to previous months. The decline in investor participation comes despite government efforts to boost confidence in China's stock market. And they added that while some sectors remain resilient, overall enthusiasm has waned. India and the US are in advanced talks to address tariff imbalances, potentially reducing the threat of reciprocal tariffs on Indian imports, which have been a growing concern amid escalating trade tensions. India's high import duties, averaging about 11.5% on goods, significantly exceeds the 1.5% weighted average charge by the US. Sectors like agriculture, pharmaceuticals, and automobiles face the highest tariff differentials, making them focal points in the ongoing discussion. India imposes a 40% effective tariff on US food products compared to the US's 6% duty on Indian imports. While reducing tariffs is politically sensitive given India's large agricultural workforce, there is potential for increased market access for US exporters of cotton, corn, and soybeans. Negotiations, which began on March the 26th, aim to finalize a deal by autumn, focusing primarily on reducing tariff and non-tariff barriers while keeping sensitive issues like immigration and IT services out of scope. India has already moved to eliminate a 6% equalization levy on digital ads, which benefits US tech firms. And at the close, the Nifty 50 fell 0.31% on Friday. The Indian VIX was down 4.25% to 1382. Australia's share markets closed higher on Friday, capping off a volatile week as those erratic trade policy negotiations continue to cloud the economic outlook. The ASX 200 lifted 0.2%, or just 13 points, to 7,982 at the close of the market. That helped it to notch a 0.6% gain over the week, marking the first time this year the exchange has posted two consecutive weeks of gains. The All Ords edged up 0.1% and seven of the 11 sectors were higher. Technology stocks tracked a sell-off on Wall Street, though, with WiseTech down 4.3% to $80.05 and the accounting software provider Xero down 2.1% to $155.86. Goodman Group, which is forking out $10 billion for a data center development, dropped 3.5% to $29.29. That's the lowest level since February 2023. Utilities and consumer staples, typically considered defensive stocks, rose, with supermarket giants Coles and Woolworths adding more than 1% each. Gold miners were a bright spot after prices notched a fresh record high overnight. The gold spot price reset a record, hitting $3,077 an ounce US. Remulus Resources was the indices' biggest gainer, jumping 6.9% to $2.47, and De Grey Mining advanced 4.3% to $2.17. Glass bottles and can maker Orao posted the largest loss, dropping 8.4% to $1.80 after France's competition regulator said it was probing Saverglass as part of an investigation into alleged anti-competitive practices. In corporate news, Strickland Metals shares leapt 25% to 10 cents after the gold explorer announced a fifth rig had started drilling at its Serbian site, showing signs of mineral deposits. And Paladin Energy slumped 4.1% to $5.42, extending this week's losses after the company retracted its 2025 production guidance because of unseasonably heavy rainfall at its Namibian mine. That was despite Macquarie upgrading the uranium play to outperform. And corporate travel management dropped 3% to $14.52 after Chief Executive of Australia and New Zealand stepped down following a seven-year stint. And Incitec Pivot says 1.5% to $2.64 after weather events delayed sales and output across its fertilizer and explosive businesses, although expects to recoup losses in the second half. Now, we know that Goldman Sachs says that the market is underestimating the chance that the Reserve Bank of Australia will cut interest rates next week, suggesting interest rates are too high, given that inflation has fallen to within target. Bond traders say that there's just a 7% chance of a rate cut next week and a 73% likelihood by the following month. That's according to data provided by AMP. That means they broadly expect the RBA to keep the cash rate at 4.1% when it meets on April the 1st. But economists at Goldman Sachs believe the April meeting could go either way because the RBA has the propensity to surprise expectations and Australia's economic fundamentals support the case for further easing. Australia's bond yields slid on Friday as the government unveiled tax cuts and other sweeteners this week ahead of the May the 3rd elections to soothe the voters' cost of living concerns and help win Prime Minister Anthony Albanese's second term in office. The earlier budget showed authorities plan to fund those initiatives via an increase in debt issuance in the fiscal year starting July, limiting the deficit further. For analysis of the budget, see my recent post, Beyond the Budget BS, and on the election overall, then look at yesterday's post that I made with Tarek Brooker. The Aussie dollar was at 62.87 US cents, and 48.58 UK pence. Now, turning to crypto, is the price of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies a signal of more trouble ahead? With the price of Bitcoin down over 4% this week, from weekly highs of 89,000 US to 83,654, it really has no value anchor. So this may not be the end of the pain for holders of Bitcoin and, of course, other crypto assets, as when the leader falls, others tend to follow. The possibility of further declines was recently highlighted by a trader that many call a legend of the financial markets, Peter Brandt, which predicts that the cryptocurrency could fall to the low 70,000s directly from the current price, thanks to a so-called bear flag pattern, with the surge of recent weeks being its flag phase. But sometimes it only takes one number to shift sentiment on the market. And this time that number came from the latest inflation report. The price of Bitcoin has now lost a crucial technical support level to the 200-day moving average after the latest personal consumption expenditures data was released, adding more weight to an already uncertain macroeconomic backdrop. For Bitcoin, which tends to struggle in tight liquidity conditions, the break below the 200-day moving average could signal further downside if macro pressures persist. As for what comes next, well, that depends on whether inflation slows or if markets have once again been too eager to price in victory too soon. And for those keeping track, the Federal Reserve has made it clear again and again that PCE is the inflation metric that matters most, unlike the Consumer Price Index, the CPI, which tracks a fixed basket of goods. PCE adjusts based on what consumers are actually buying. Just a month ago, optimism was running high, with many calling inflation a problem of the past, yet the data suggests otherwise. But with inflation still holding above target levels and revisions hitting at even more persistence, expectations for a dovish shift from the Fed are fading, and Bitcoin is suffering first. But of course, the broader market is now following, which is why the gold safe haven is for many so attractive, at least for now. Much of the pain has been self-inflicted, thanks to Trump tariffs, but the overall fallout is going to be significant, and not just in the US. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.